Sometimes you feel so alone and overwhelmed, you don't know where to turn. These days, it seems like there is no end to our problems. We invite you to connect with Silent Unity, the 24-hour prayer ministry, where someone is waiting to pray with you right now. Since 1890, Silent Unity has always been there. No judgment or dogma, just someone affirming the best for you. Call 816-969-2000 today. You can also connect online at unityprayervigil.org.
Exploring our oneness with Spirit and each other. Unity Online Radio.
Welcome to World Spirituality, exploring the unity within all cultures and faith traditions, with Paul John Roach, minister of Unity Church of Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas. Discover the universal principles present in all the world's religions and take an incredible journey to new understanding. Now, here's your host, Paul John Roach.
So hello and welcome to World Spirituality on the Unity Online Radio Network. I'm your host, Paul John Roach, and I'm coming to you from Unity Church of Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas, where it has finally started to cool off. I think we're going to be in the 80s later this week. So fall is on its way, and we enjoyed the supermoon that happened a couple of days ago, which was absolutely glorious, and the accompanying eclipse, and always wonderful to see the light that comes from one of those supermoons, because it seemed like it was daylight in the middle of the night, which is amazing. Today we explore a topic of hope and promise, which is always good, based on a book entitled The Transfiguration of Our World, How a Light Alliance is Transforming Darkness and Creating a New Earth. And this is a very encouraging title, isn't it? Because we are filled so often with doom and gloom coming to us from the media and political situation. And it's good to know that the light is prevailing here, and the spiritual truth of our world and our being as individuals is always guaranteed. I'm going to talk with the author, Gordon Asher Davidson, and he's the co-founder of the Center for Visionary Leadership. He's done many things during his life, but that's just one of them. And he's been teaching meditation and spiritual development around the world for 35 years. He's also the co-author of The Practical Visionary and Spiritual Politics. So it's a pleasure to welcome Gordon Asher Davidson to today's show. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be here.
Well, you know, I got to admit that when I read this book, I thought, good Lord, is this true? It's just, how do you know all this stuff? Because we're talking about, you know, the Light Alliance and the Dark Lodge, the Dark Forces and aliens coming to the world, et cetera, et cetera. And it sounds like an adventure story. It sounds like a great Hollywood movie. But mm-hmm. can this be actually true? And, of course, the underpinnings are that, you know, light it has great power over the darkness within us and around us. And I, of course, can agree with that completely. But is it true that there are aliens among us and we're duking it out, you know, the dark and light forces? So I guess this is literally true, right?
Yes, it is. My total perception and understanding is there are no longer any malevolent aliens on the planet or around the planet. So that has been completed. That whole removal of them from the planet is over. They're done.
Okay.
But we do have, and they of course established quite a few systems to manage and control the world for their own benefit, which includes, of course, the financial system, eventually they control the political system, the media, you know, so that they could basically run the world to their benefit. A lot of human beings have cooperated with them over the centuries, actually, to benefit and gain, you know, their own perks and their own wealth, power, and all the rest of it by being part of their systems that they set up. So, and some of them are still very active here, the human cooperators, but not the aliens themselves. They're gone.
So, I see.
And with their removal, a lot of the leadership and the prevision and the certain powers that they had to telepathically manipulate humanity has also left. So now, And in addition, what happened was after 9/11, which was an event orchestrated by the dark side to create more fear and institute the Patriot Act and take away more and more freedoms from people and invade the Middle East to try to get control of the oil and all the things they tried to do, the result of that event was that a decision was made at a very high level beyond the planet, at the solar systemic level, that those controlling, dominating kind of aliens would be removed from the planet, and they gave permission to the Positive Galactic Light Alliance to do that, and they did, and started in 2002, and it was ongoing, and it's now completed. It's completely, they have been removed. And so, and of course, the reason that this intervention happened was because the Earth itself, our planet, is a chakra, a center, an energy center within the solar system, as are each of the planets. And because of the control and the darkness surrounding our planet, it was preventing the forward evolution of our entire solar system and even this quadrant of the galaxy. And so we were holding back a huge evolutionary progression, which was being allowed to work itself out in the hopes that the humanity and the spiritual masters and all of us working with the light would be able to overcome these kind of controls. But after 9/11 and the way things were going, it looked very, very bleak for humanity to overcome and free ourselves from this kind of thing. So they decided at that solar systemic level that they would take them out, and they did. And that has made a huge change.
Now, when you say they, can you elucidate who they are?
Right. There's multiple levels we're talking about here. So at the solar level, there is a council of all the planets in the solar system that meets and makes decisions and for the good of the whole solar system and even beyond our solar system. But certainly, and they decide, in certain levels what needs to be done to forward the progress evolution. And that was the decision that they made. And then the Light Alliance is composed of civilizations from all around the galaxy who have been very much protectors and have fought certain battles to protect the galaxy from those kinds of beings who would exploit and control and, exploit other systems, other planets, for their own benefit. They just had a completely different value system, and they did not care. Whereas the Light Alliance is about maintaining the ability of each system and each planet to go through its own evolutionary process and develop in its own chosen way. And so they are, that is their function, and they protect that in all the systems and planets in our area. So they are very active now because, in addition to removing the negative aliens, the Solar Council gave permission to the Galactic Light Alliance to begin to give more energetic support to humanity, to all the lighted people who are, working to help humanity and free us and move us forward and, alleviate the suffering and all the things going on. And they began to have more contact with world leaders and many, many people in many different ways through inner, telepathic impressions, just giving people advice and guidance without maybe even people knowing exactly where it's coming from, but they're actually helping and influencing in a positive way. And in some cases, they have actually made themselves known to world leaders. And they are now, world leaders understand that there is this gigantic effort being put forward, this plan to actually free humanity from this kind of control completely. And that involves a tremendous up-leveling of consciousness, which many, many people are going through. As we can see, we've had this huge awakening going on worldwide. And all these people in Libya and Ukraine and everywhere, you're waking up and saying, we're not going to allow ourselves to be controlled in this way anymore. We want a fair and decent system. And in some cases, those awakening movements have been distorted or grabbed by the dark side and manipulated, and like Libya and in other places in Iran. But it's still there. The awakening is still there underneath it. And that's part of what is being supported and helped. And it's gradually moving towards the implementation of this plan, where we will see a huge, huge shift in a reorganization of all of the systems on our planet. That's really part of the plan.
Right, okay. And so people who, you know, became enlightened or self-realized, people like we could say Jesus or the Buddha, are the great masters of the history. Yeah. Are they part of this council?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
They have been working with humanity for a very long time, you know, bringing and demonstrating and teaching about the pathway of light and love and service. They showed humanity a way, whereas the dark forces have been always trying to influence people towards greed, selfishness, power, and control. And in the whole history of our evolution has been the struggle for the heart and soul of humanity between these two forces, right? And the whole idea of evolution was humanity would then be able to choose which way they would want to go. And each person, the individual, makes their choice, and then they learn from the karma of their choices, the results they have when they make choosing the light or the dark. And then through time, they learn to make wiser and better choices towards the light. That's been the fundamental idea behind our whole evolutionary process. And the masters came, like Jesus and Buddha and many other great teachers, to show humanity why the lighted, loving path was better. And in many cases, people follow that. But there was also the dark influence, and many people follow that. So we've had this tremendous, you know, dichotomy in our world for a very long time. And the way things unfolded, the dark side was gaining more and more power and control over all of the worldly systems and really gaining control. It had control of the financial system through the whole banking, interest-based money system, and they gained a tremendous amount of influence over political process through the power of money, and, of course, they control the media for the most part. And so there you have this massive control where anything positive that really is changing the system is completely blocked. And I can give you lots of examples of where that's happened. And many, many people have testified to that fact that, you know, that you try to do something positive at a high level where it's really going to have a major impact, and you get a tremendous amount of resistance.
Yeah. Right. and you could... Yeah, go ahead. I was going to say, you know, we're in unity, right? This is a unity radio station. And so our tradition is that we would say there's only one presence and one power in the universe, and that's God the Good. So there may be dark areas and twisted good, which may come forth as evil. But we wouldn't say that was a force or power in and of itself. You know, do you agree with that, or do you think there are these two great forces in the universe, a sort of a dualistic system, kind of duking it out, sort of Manichaean idea, you know, Persian ideas there?
Well, my perspective is that we live in a multidimensional universe, right? That there are different levels of being and consciousness.
Right.
At many different levels. I fully agree with and have experienced and do my very best to live out of that idea of the unity of all life, the one life. We are one. We are, humanity is one. We are one with the universe. I call it the matrix, what I've been told, what it's called by some masters, is the matrix of love. And they have a beautiful description of it, which I could share with you if you like, but it's extraordinary, about how love is the fundamental matrix of all existence. And there's no question about that. At a certain level of reality, and many people enter that level, and it's all based on each individual's consciousness. If they are able to resonate to this love and unity, then there they are. They can be in that space, and they can have that. And at the same time, which I think is fairly undeniable, there is also another level of consciousness at a lower frequency where there is a struggle that has gone on between the light and dark. And it's like a testing ground. Humanity gets tested and given choices about what they're going to align with. And as we more and more align with the light and the oneness and the love, then our frequency rises. and we move into closer and more fully able to live in that unity consciousness. And we still have the potential or capacity to influence what's going on in that lower dualistic level by our thoughts, our meditations, by radiating love and light and all those wonderful things that I know unity does, which is very, very valuable in the process. It's essential. It's so important. Does that help?
Yeah, I think it does because, you know, we talk about different levels of vibration, and if you're into the chakras, you'll understand that there's various, you know, vibratory levels in our beings on physical, emotional, and mental and spiritual levels. And so there's a lot going on, right? And when we're at a certain level, we tend to associate with others of that level.
Yeah.
And we begin to see the world, you know, reflected through the lens of that level. And when we're at a higher level of consciousness, we just don't hang out with those folks anymore. They don't even seem to come into our purview, and we look at the world in a different sense. So, you know, I think this is very true. But you're right. It's not so much a force in and of itself. It's just a way of viewing, a lens by which we view the all good, which is the universe. But some of us want to take that, don't we, and use it selfishly. And we've all done that, I think, in our lives. We've taken the good. And because of our own weaknesses and defensiveness and, or at worst, greed, willfulness, we've wanted to use some of the good for our own ends, and it usually doesn't work very well, does it? Ultimately, it's a diminishing force, I would say.
Right. Well, I think the thing that we ultimately discover when we begin to recognize that the choices that we have is that by choosing to live in unity and to work towards and really actively engage with creating the good and the fulfillment and the actualization of all the people we know and at whatever level they might be, and helping them in that process. That's the most rewarding, fulfilling, and positive and beneficial thing we could do for ourselves.
Well, and folks, some of the most wonderful parts of the book is these lovely meditations. Meditation on light and on this matrix of love and things like that. So I think that's wonderful because it takes us into that consciousness very easily. So if you're going to get this book, that's one of the lovely benefits of it. I'm with Gordon Asher Davidson, and we're talking about the transfiguration of the world. And, of course, Jesus was transfigured on the Mount, wasn't he? And became a being of light for those few moments for the disciples. And we see that in other religions too, when Krishna, for instance, goes into his cosmic form, you know, in front of Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, and other beings throughout history have had that light experience. And it's a revealing, isn't it? A revealing of who they are in truth. It's just shrouded by the veil, I guess, because sometimes seeing that directly can be so overwhelming that we can't live very long in that light. And so I think it's true for all of us. We all have that intense light within us, but it's shielded in a way and protected. But there's those moments where it comes forth in glory, and we realize, my goodness, everything in the universe is vibrating with this intense light energy, which is very beautiful. When we come back, I'll ask some more questions about the day of revelation and what's happening in our financial, banking, and political systems with Gordon Asher Davidson. Join us in a couple of minutes after these messages from Unity.
As Unity Online Radio continues to expand its programming and outreach to the world, we count on the support of listeners like you. Please make your donation today. Go to www.unity.fm and click on Donate Now.
In his new book, What If Godzilla Just Wanted a Hug?, Daryl Fusaro emphasizes the positive effects of applying unity principles in everyday situations. Laura Harvey, editor of Daily Word magazine, exclaims Daryl Fusaro shares his life lessons with inspiring creativity. This book is encouraging, funny, and heartwarming, a combination I highly recommend. As co-host of Unity Online Radio's Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed, Daryl's old-school charm and no-nonsense approach to spirituality keep a global audience laughing and inspired. What If Godzilla Just Wanted a Hug? Is loaded with Daryl's hilarious, award-winning illustrations and packs his wit and wisdom into easy-to-digest, bite-sized stories of how he transforms chaos into tranquility and succeeds in the entertainment business by doing the opposite of everyone else. What If Godzilla Just Wanted a Hug is a pocket Bible encouraging the talented and timid to trust their gut, act on their intuition, and step out boldly. Even if you just bought it for the chapter titles and Daryl Fusaro's illustrations alone, you'd be getting more than your money's worth with this book. Author and film critic Sister Rose Pucati says, spending time with Fusaro's stories will leave you no choice but to smile and carry on. Oh, he forgot to mention he hangs out with a group of nuns, but then, if he had, it would have necessitated a change to some of his more colorful adjectives. Have fun ordering your copy of What If Godzilla Just Wanted a Hug today on Amazon.com.
I will leave this world as it is.
The world is full of voices, advertising, television, politics, colleagues, family, and friends. All are too happy to tell us how to live. In all of that noise, it's easy to miss the one voice that matters, your own soul. What would happen if you could hear that voice? Imagine the clarity, confidence, and courage that would be yours and the life you could create. Join Janet Connor, best-selling author of Writing Down Your Soul, The Lotus and the Lily, and Your Soul Wants Five Things, as she and her guests explore how to hear the call of the soul and create the soul-directed life. Live Thursday at 1 p.m. Central, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Go inside to find my God.
You've been listening to World Spirituality with host Reverend Paul John Roach. To learn more about Reverend Paul John Roach, visit his website, pauljohnroach.com. Or if you have questions, email him at pauljohnroach@yahoo.com. We now return to World Spirituality.
All right, welcome back to World Spirituality on the Unity Online Radio Network. And by the way, if you go to my website, pauljohnroach.com, you'll see a bunch of new podcasts from recent services and some other goodies on there. So check those out. And I think you'll find some of them quite fascinating. But today I'm with Gordon Asher Davidson. We're talking about his new book. It's called The Transfiguration of the World. And it's a hopeful book. It's a book of promise and joy, really, because it's the idea that light is going to prevail over the darkness. And many of us in the modern world, you know, can't get our heads around that. We feel like the world's going to hell in a way, overpopulation, terrorism, craziness of all kinds, GMOs, you name it. And the greed seems to be the force that drives everything. And it's good to know that there are initiatives out there and the inherent power of light that is prevailing. So we don't usually get political on this show, and of course we're going out live today, but it's going to be archived for forever. But you know, when I look at certain people who were promising to make America great again, you know, like mm-hmm. our friend Donald Trump, is he working for the Light Alliance? I hope.
In his own way, in a way that's a little bit unusual, as I'm going to probably say some things that are a little bit outside the normal way of thinking, but I guess that's why I'm here. Trump is You know, it's interesting when you compare Trump and Bernie Sanders, for instance. It's probably the most greatest possible polarity you could ever imagine in politics, right? I mean, here it is, the absolute extreme of the two of them. And whenever the energy gets very powerfully intensive and gets to a point of culmination and approaching resolution, you always have these polarities get very intense and very extreme. And that's what we have right now in politics. And what that does is it ultimately demands and triggers a resolution at some higher level, at a higher level of synthesis of the two opposites, right? And that's really where we're going. We're going into a higher resolution of these different points of view. You have to incorporate both of them. Yes, there is a role for entrepreneurship and initiative and creativity. It's a very fundamental part of what makes us spiritual beings. And there is also a very important role for caring for the whole, for, you know, making sure that everyone has what they need and having compassion for those who are not as capable or endowed as we are, and a certain responsibility to assist them and allow them to have fulfilling lives too. And so that's what the plan is, that we will have a new system, a new society where we will have individual creativity will be the keynote for everything we do, and people will have enough to take care of all their basic survival needs, and we will become friends to each other worldwide. There will be a friendship and a kind of mutual understanding and support and compassion for all beings on the planet. Now, in order for that to be realized, we have to go through certain processes, and what is happening now on the planet is that the degree of love that's flowing into the planet is increasing, and there's more and more love and energy pouring into the planet every day, and I think many of us feel this and know it, and it's intensifying everything, good and bad. That's what happens when the energy pours in. And that's going to go to a culminating point where the love energy is going to become so intensive that unless people vibrate to and have that some degree of love within themselves that can resonate with this love frequency, they simply will not be able to remain on the planet. That is what I've gotten through my deep, deep explorations with members of the spiritual masters who are working with this plan and developing it. And it is going to be like a revelation in the sense that there will be a flooding in of light and love, and everyone who has any of that resonance within them will be here, will be fine, but those who do not will simply not be able to remain on the planet.
That is,
and I know this sounds, you know, very eschatological, and it sounds very fantastical to some people, but when you look at the conditions of the earth, and you see, I mean, the reason people are in so much despair is because if you take current conditions and project them into the future, extrapolating from what is, it looks like we would be heading for a total breakdown, which is not an unreasonable assumption if you don't understand that there are very, very high, powerful beings and forces and plans in place to actually prevent that from happening, because it's crystal clear to me that the divine does not want this planet to go into complete destruction. That is not part of the plan. The higher plan is that we will resolve all this negativity and darkness on the planet, which much of which has been perpetrated by the dark side, as we say, and they will no longer be active on this planet. If they're removed, then people will have a sense of, and the other thing is, making sure that everyone on the planet has everything they need to be comfortable, food, shelter, clothing, healthcare, education, opportunities to be creative. That's the vision of what we are going to have. So we'll be able to go to other societies and other parts of the world and see their beautiful cultures and their music and their dance and their art and their poetry and everything they're creating. And if there's no survival fear, then people will become very joyful. The thing that the overwhelming vibrational frequency from a very large portion of humanity right now is fear of survival. Will they have enough to even live? Because there's a very large portion of humanity that doesn't. And that is a pervasive kind of frequency that affects everyone to some degree, depending on where your consciousness normally is. But it's lowering the joy level on this planet. And that's what is going to shift, so that we will not have that kind of underlying survival fear, subconscious fear that's there. It will be gone because people will understand and see and experience that they're actually going to have everything they need, and that will be done as part of the plan. That is part of the plan. And the other part of it that is important is that the wealth that has been accumulated through the manipulation of the financial system, illegal, illicit, corrupted activities, tremendous wealth. I mean, trillions and trillions of dollars stored away in caves in the mountains and barrels of diamonds and racks of gold and on and on. And that's all real, what I'm saying. And there are photographs of all that on the internet. And all that is going to be, whatever's been gained illicitly will be taken and redistributed. Anything that people have that they've legitimately earned or inherited or whatever they've legitimately earned is fine. That's not going to be touched. But all that tremendous amount of corruption that has occurred, results of that will be taken and given and shared with the world. That is a major part of the plan.
Right, and we know, don't we, that there is obviously more than enough to go around.
Absolutely.
It's just being held in the hands of the few, and mm-hmm. the 1%, as we've come to know it in recent years in the States, in the West. And, if there was a fair and equitable distribution of that wealth, the whole planet would be totally different. And that's beginning to happen in some areas, but, it's hard, isn't it, to hold on. Once you have the power, it's hard to relinquish the power. One of the cool things I think about the people you mentioned, Trump and Sanders, is that they are sort of outside the system to a degree, aren't they? The political system, although, one's a senator and the other one's certainly involved in power politics at one level or another. But they're not establishment figures in the sense that, they're offering some new vision. They may be very polar opposites to each other, but I think people are craving something outside of the usual talking points, the usual super PACs and et cetera. And both of them are raising money in different ways. Trump has his own money and Bernie's raising money in small increments based on just ordinary people's giving. So I think this is promising. You may side with one or the other in terms of your political persuasion, but both are offering, I think, an alternative rather than the same old stuff, which people have become tired of, I think.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with everything you've just said. And even more, I think that there's a deep intuitive knowing in human beings, many human beings, not everyone, but many, who understand now that this system is, and this has been part of the process over the last decade or more, is to help people see clearly how corrupted the current system is. And that's all these revelations that have come out, on and on in politics, business, and everywhere in the media. It's just endless. Because people now have gotten to the place of saying, this system is so broken and so distorted and corrupted that it cannot be just a few patches here and there, a couple of legislation is going to change it and fix it up. No, it's not possible. And it has to be completely redone in order to have any kind of real lasting change. And part of that redoing is you can't have the same people in charge because this is what they do. They are paid for and bought by the people with the money powers. And they'll do whatever they ask, and that's what they do. And we've seen that, and people are now fully understanding this, a large percentage of people. And that's why there's this openness, this yearning for somebody who really I can trust, who's outside of this whole game that everybody's immersed in and is really going to bring something different and new to it, because we can't go on this way. And there's an awful lot of people who are struggling, two jobs, three jobs, barely making it with that, and striving to keep their lives together and their families together, and it's so challenging. And so And they know, you know, someone who's part of the system isn't really going to change the system. It just can't happen. So if you like, I can just share a little bit about what the plan is for the financial system, because I think it's very interesting.
Yeah, before you get to that, on the day of Revelation, you know, you mm-hmm. say that, you know, a lot of people are going to be arrested or whatever. You know, they're taken away, those people that are still mm-hmm. adhering to the sort of the dark force, if you like. And it almost sounds like idealism, doesn't it? You know, like, mm-hmm. oh, all the imbalances are going to be redressed, and we're going to come back to harmony. And people might say, you know, I love that idea, but it sounds fantastic. It sounds like, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. I say, an idealism. And mm-hmm. you mentioned that, you know, some of the justices on the Supreme Court are going to be arrested. So I'm really keen to know which ones which ones are working for the dark force. I probably don't want to say it.
I would have to do is have the criteria, okay? What are the criteria? Well, you know, those who do make decisions that obviously benefit the wealthy, those are the controllers, and those who, you know, do not really care for supporting or, you know, maintaining individual rights. I mean, this is one of the core struggles in our whole system. The United States government was founded on the idea that the fundamental rights reside within the individual, right? That we each have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and, you know, those rights need to be protected. What has happened is that now, through the manipulation and corruption of the political and judicial system, corporations have been given all the rights of an individual under our Constitution, which is a complete insanity. It makes no sense. And because corporations are immortal and have unlimited resources from many of them, that gives them such a gigantic imbalance of power in our system that the ordinary person's rights are completely trampled on. And that's what we have. And it's a complete destruction of the basis of our whole democratic political system. And that is being addressed now. Many people are now becoming aware of this and saying that this is wrong. We have to change it. It's not right. We can't make corporations equal in rights to individuals because they have way so much more power than human beings. And that's a part of a shift in thinking that we need to have. But all that has occurred because those in power in both judicial, political, whatever arenas have turned that over to the corporations under the influence of money and, you know, and just the general thinking of the way, yes, corporations are more important than people and la-di-da, on and on. And there we
go. Right, right.
And so, you know, this is part of what's needing to be transformed and will be transformed in the new system. Because, I mean, corporations are not, you know, divine beings. Human beings are divine beings. And therefore, it was appropriate and right for our founders to anchor the principles of our whole system politically in the divineness of human beings. Now, of course, we don't manifest all that perfectly, and we're in a process of learning to do that more and more fully. So, but that is an actual key to the whole process. So if we become really, if our system becomes very, very careful about protecting human beings and our rights and our all the things that we, you know, value for maintaining a good, decent life for people and their families and, you know, having the right ability to work and ability to generate income and have a satisfying life, then that's the core of the whole social contract. That's why we're in a society together, not so that we can make a few people incredibly rich and just exploit everyone else, which is what's happening right now. And it's because, and some of that, I must say, under the influence of the predatory type aliens, was deliberate. They wanted to keep humanity in fear. They wanted to keep fear of survival and keep humanity, in, which makes them easier to control. And the goal was control, to be able to, you know, exploit and use human beings. And so people paying gigantic interest on anything and everything they buy, including their homes, and always in debt and, you know, struggling to pay for this debt with jobs that do not fulfill. It couldn't even possibly ever really pay it off, and for many people, and therefore they're completely fearful and manipulatable and everything else. Does not create a informed, conscious, wise citizenry. It creates a lot of people in survival scarcity fear.
Right. Yeah.
So this is what we're changing. This is where it's going. Is to really change that fundamental structure of the whole system based on complete erroneous principles of, you know, it's the corporations and the people with the money and the power, they should rule, they should have everything go their way exactly how they want it, and everybody else is basically not that important. That's the fundamental core error of the whole system.
Right, core error, very nice way to put it. Folks, I'm with Gordon Asher Davidson. We're talking about his book, The Transfiguration of the World, and how that power and control of the, quote, dark side of things, the greedy, separative version of humanity, is on its way out, and the light and infinite possibility of God or the divine is coming in. And according to Gordon, we have these entities and powers that are helping us do this, the Light Alliance, to help us move to that higher level of awareness. When we come back, I'm going to throw in a curveball and ask about AI, artificial intelligence, because some scientists are saying this is the greatest threat to humanity that's arisen in the last several hundred years. So let's talk about that when we come back, and how the Light Alliance is working with artificial intelligence. Let's take a break and listen to these messages from Unity.
Now available, YouPray, the free prayer app from Silent Unity. For more than a century, people from all over the world and all walks of life have turned to Silent Unity. With YouPray, our confidential prayer support is easy and convenient to access. With YouPray, you can send your prayer directly to Silent Unity. YouPray also includes affirmations you can share with family and friends, plus audio meditations for your prayer time. For more about the free YouPray app and links to download, visit silentunity.org/app. That's silentunity.org/app.
There is peace. Quiet.
Reverend Paulette's mantra is, "It's all a prayer." Tune in every Tuesday as Unity Minister Paulette Pipe leads you in meditation and prayer on Touching the Stillness. Make no mistake, this is not nap time. With an energy that will captivate you, Touching the Stillness will guide you in deep meditation, leaving you enlivened. Hear astounding meditations and learn more about different forms of meditation. Enrich your prayer life as Reverend Paulette, Senior Minister of Touching the Stillness Ministries, affirmatively prays with power and authority by taking live prayer requests from callers like you. Whether you have a prayer request for yourself or for a loved one, or are ready for a deepened meditation experience, make sure you tune in on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Central Time, where we'll be joining in consciousness with the unceasing prayer activity of the Silent Unity 24/7 Prayer Ministry at Unity Village. That's Touching the Stillness with Reverend Paulette Pipe every Tuesday right here on Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world.
Letting go in the stillness.
You've been listening to World Spirituality with host Reverend Paul John Roach. To learn more about Reverend Paul John Roach, visit his website, pauljohnroach.com. Or if you have questions, email him at pauljohnroach@yahoo.com. We now return to World Spirituality.
All right, welcome back to segment three of our show today. I'm with Gordon Asher Davidson talking about his book, Transfiguration of the World. And Gordon, if people want to get in touch with you, your website is worldtransfiguration.com, correct?
Yes, that's right. And the book is available on Amazon either as an ebook or as printed copy. And on our website, I'm going to institute a new program starting November 7th called Galactic News, Updates from the Light Alliance. And I'm going to give a monthly sharing of what I'm receiving about how things are unfolding on the planet, both from a higher level and from a very practical level, so people can keep updated on what's actually happening in the world around this. And then I'm also doing a training on accelerating your spiritual evolution, which is also there on my website. And I'm speaking in different places all around, and so people can see my speaking schedule and if they'd like to hear me talk in person. So it's worldtransfiguration.com.
All right, good. So, we talked at the end of the last segment about artificial intelligence. You know, eminent scientists like Stephen Hawking have said, you know, they're concerned that this may be a death knell for humanity because, you know, computers will, in some sense, feel like we're a failed species. You know, we're too aggressive, we're too greedy, all the things we've already talked about, and it would be better without us because, you know, a computer is much more elegant. And so we're going to be just removed, you know, not out of wealth, bad feeling or spite, but really because that's the sensible thing to do, because computers are inherently sensible, supposedly, right? They're logical. So what do you think of that? You know, and what does the Light Alliance think of that?
Oh, I think it's a very silly idea, frankly. I really do, for a lot of reasons. First of all, artificial intelligence on computers can't really process in any real way value-based decisions about values. It's all about what values are, you're holding. That just isn't very easy for them to do in any clear way. There's also underlying that statement is an assumption that we as humanity are somehow at the mercy of computers. This is a kind of mechanistic, Kepke view that places us lower on scale because people are only looking at, you know, logical functioning and the way computers can, you know, outperform human beings on that particular dimension, which in certain kinds of logic and mental function, which is true. However, it completely leaves out the heart, completely leaves out values, it completely leaves out the fact that, you know, at any time we can pull the plug on a computer. I mean, you know, this is not like they have arms and they can come and prevent us from and then people saying, well, we're going to create robots and we're going to download human consciousness into robots, which is completely ridiculous. You'll never be able to do that because of the way human beings are actually constituted. And if you do any deep study of the constitution of a human being, I mean, we have actual permanent atoms that make up our physical, emotional, mental body and our higher spiritual bodies. Those cannot be installed in a computer or a robot. It's just not doable. And, you know, the way human beings function is in a very complex set of processes that go on to hold a context of so many different factors, and then including all the heart, human compassion values, and then make decisions or act based on that, which computers just can't do. And then they've experimented a certain degree with this and been frustrated with they can't really get robots to imitate human decision-making or human processes very well. It's very difficult to even get close to it. I mean, I think this is, and it's an over-exaggeration of the power of technology, which is in a sense, is a false god that has taken over human consciousness. We don't understand that we are in a world populated by many levels of consciousness. And I don't mean in computers. I mean beings who actually exist and live and hold this world and are contributing to it and providing energy and love and all the things that are going on that are at all different levels of consciousness and being. Most people are completely oblivious to this reality. But this reality, believe me, is extremely powerful, very present, and very much being held by great, beautiful spiritual beings, and ultimately by what people call God, you know, at all different levels. So, I mean, the idea that this is all just going to be superseded by some computer choice just is laughable to me.
Right. Yeah. I guess the argument is that, you know, in succeeding generations of computers, they'll be so sophisticated, they'll have their own consciousness and be able to self-replicate also, and so they, you know, will become a force in and of themselves. I think that's the argument. But yeah, I hope you're right, because I don't think it'd be fun to be taken over by computers. But we've been thinking about this for a long time.
I mean, right, yeah, space, and in a sense, you know,
2001 Space Odyssey had that
computer
that was out of control.
In a way, it is already starting to happen, in the sense that most people, a whole lot of people, put their consciousness into the computer world. You know, they're online, they're on their cell phones, they're, you know, communicating all the time, they identify with their technology, they become their newest cell phone, whatever. They are replacing their value of their own intuitive heart element and all that part of our human being that makes us humans, and just completely identifying with the technology that they're dancing with. And that is not healthy. And it's not true.
No.
I mean, it's not real. It's just a particular weakness that people have, that they don't really understand what they're doing in how much they're giving their power away, giving their essence away into these technologies and identifying with them. That's something we're going to change.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because I watched a documentary on Steve Jobs, and you know, he was definitely a genius and created these wonderful tools, but there was also a sense of that, you know, they became his baby, and it was his way of controlling the world. And and although, for every moment they connect us, they also isolate us, and we've all been around dinner tables where everybody's on their phones or whatever. So
we can
spend too much energy on this, like you say, mechanistic system, and not and forget the warm, vibrant flesh and divine light that's within us all. So
right.
We only have a few minutes left. Tell us what we can hope or what we can expect in the next few years according to this transfiguration process.
One of the things is going to be a complete reform of the financial system. We will eliminate interest-based money. Banks will be rechartered. Instead of being for-profit corporations, they will be function like public utilities, and they will provide financial services for a fee. Loans will be made available for a fee, but no interest will be part of that process. We will have a new worldwide currency backed by gold and commodities, which will be very, very stable. There will be no speculation between different currencies, and that will be without any interest involved. And there will be worldwide debt forgiveness.
Wow.
And it's very interesting, because the Pope, who is, by the way, a very key figure in the Light Alliance, just some months ago announced that he's planning a jubilee year for December of this year. Jubilee year is when you forgive all past sins and debts. And he's already announced this, which is very interesting.
Yes.
Yes, and he's a key figure in this whole Light Alliance. So that's part of what the plan is. And, you know, the idea is we're going to, and another thing that's going to be there is free energy. You know, there are many, many people in this country who have invented free energy systems where you go into the quantum field directly and pull energy directly from it, and with all kinds of devices. And many of them have been invented, but they've all been suppressed by the control forces. But now that's starting to break down, and some of them are actually brought out and brought into sharing on the internet, and people are producing them, creating them for their homes, and that is underway, and it's going to increase until ultimately we do have free energy on this planet.
Wow.
No more fossil fuels, no more oil, no more pollution, all that goes. And if you have that kind of energy, then you can set up a desalinization plant on the Red Sea and massively generate water that you can then grow all the food and turn the deserts back into a garden, which it once was, in the Middle East. And so instead of young Arabs having 40% unemployment, nothing to do, so they join the terrorist groups, instead the prime objective of the entire society becomes regenerating the earth. And the
Right. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, we could talk for a long time more, I know, but unfortunately we're out of time. Let me tell you about next week's show, and then we'll say goodbye to Gordon. Next week, spiritual comedian, author, lecturer, speaker Steve Behrman, who's also known as Swami Beyond Ananda. He joins me to share his wisdom, joy, and light with us. And he's written a book with Bruce Lipton, who has written that Biology of Belief, which is in alignment with many of the themes that we've discussed today. So join me next week with Steve. But right now I want to thank Gordon Asher-Davidson for being with me. Thank you, Gordon.
Well, thank you very much for having me on your show. It's been a pleasure.
Good, and thanks for listening, folks. And we'll see you next week. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to World Spirituality with Reverend Paul John Roach. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Central to further examine the spiritual teachings and religious traditions of our world and to discover the universal truth principles present in all. World Spirituality, only on UnityOnlineRadio.org, the voice of an awakening world. This program is brought to you in part by Unity Church of Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas, celebrating the Christ Spirit in all people. Online at www.unityfortworth.org. Every moment we live can be holy, and all we need to do to experience that state is to make the decision to do so. Everything we do can be a prayer, and by using our innate creativity with intention, in every aspect of our lives, that can indeed be true. Author Carla Kincannon wrote, "Creativity is so much more than art making. It is a tool for navigating through everyday experiences to find the sacred in each God-given moment." Discover Creative Spirit, Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Central Time, and experience the joy of connecting to spirit through creative expression.
In quiet moments of prayer, let go of any concern. Anchor your trust deep in the realization that with God all things are possible. Never doubt it for a single moment.
This meditative moment is brought to you by Unity.
Truly understand the laws of the universe and live a life based on these profound and unwavering truths, then your dream life starts today. No more waiting, no more wandering. If you're ready to let go of the striving and move into the allowing, you're ready for Everyday Attraction on Unity Online Radio. We study the teaching of Abraham given to us by beautiful Esther Hicks, so we can release confusion for clarity, exchange struggle for serenity, and have the time of our lives today. Join host Ray Zander every Friday at noon Central Time, 10 a.m. Pacific, on Unity Online Radio for Everyday Attraction, where the law of attraction gets real.
Notice how the funniest things happen when we stop taking ourselves too seriously and step out boldly? Listen to Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed as these unlikely saints administer a refreshing dose of laughter and love that will inspire you to step out boldly and experience the funniest things. Join the discussion with Daryl and Ed live every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Central Time on Funniest Thing, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Sometimes you feel so alone and overwhelmed, you don't know where to turn. These days, it seems like there is no end to our problems. We invite you to connect with Silent Unity, the 24-hour prayer ministry where someone is waiting to pray with you right now. Since 1890, Silent Unity has always been there. No judgment or dogma, just someone affirming the best for you. Call 816-969-2000 today. You can also connect online at unityprayervigil.org.